Well, Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the faithful people came out to sit at your table. I thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke. I thank you, Father God, for setting the captives free. We're still waiting for your miracles, Father. We're still waiting for your suddenlies. But we do trust that you're going to do what you said, Father. And Father God, we would like for you to start tonight. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to talk tonight about the breaking process of God, because a lot of people are going through this process and they're having a hard time with it. And I know we've been going through it for a while. But we're just going to talk about tonight, see if we can't sort of clarify some things and see if we just can't go through this thing a little bit wiser, with a little bit more dignity, you know, instead of the way we've been going through it. So I am broken. I am cut deeply to the core of my being, and God did it. Now I want to see if it's at the end, if you can say that and really mean it. All right. So at the end, we're going to say that again. Genesis 32:22-32 says, "And he arose that night, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with..." It was Jacob, sorry, that went over, crossed, okay? "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day." Now, who was the man? An angel. We all agree with that, right? All right, some of you look at me like, all right. "Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched..." Now, when the man saw that Jacob did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. All right? "And he said, 'Let me go.' The man said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So the man said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then the man said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask about my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank." So the angel left him with a limp. We want to be made perfect. And we don't expect God to let us with a limp. The limp could be anything. Are you listening here tonight? We can liken God's breaking process somewhat to Jacob and his limp. Wrestling with God will bring you to a place of complete brokenness and perhaps less hair. But there is also a divine beauty in the breaking he brings. It changes you. And absolutely no one can understand this unless they've also experienced it. So don't try to tell somebody else how to go through it. Each experience is different, all right? It's a lonely, painful place to be, but it also produces something of great worth, refining us as gold. I call it a painful but precious process. You know, God said, "You have come through the furnace of affliction as pure gold." It's God who put you through the furnace of affliction over and over and over again. He doesn't care how hot you think it is. He's going to keep putting you through there until you are the vessel of honor that he can use. Through it, we find God. And I'm not talking about superficial things. I'm talking about deeper layers. Deeper within deeper, and then even deeper places. God said, "I'm going to take you from glory to glory to glory to glory." We are brought into greater depths in him because we are in his breaking process. How many of you said when you're going through your breaking process, but God, I thought I was the apple of your eye. I thought you said you loved me. Amen. Many people do not want to hear this or even entertain the thought that God works in this way, but I found out that he does. And if, you know, if you haven't been going through that, it'll be a shock to your soul when you find out how he works. And he has a purpose for it, which we don't often fully understand while it is happening. The truth is, it's gut-wrenching, it's maddening, and it feels like you're going to die. Amen? Come on. Don't you ever wonder why you keep going through this little process of going deeper? Could it be yet you haven't yet yielded at all to him? And so he has to keep this process going over and over and over and over again. Like God told me, you can go around this mountain as many times as you want, but when you're through going around the mountain, I'll be waiting for you. So you can die now or die 2 years from now to self. Amen. Actually, in a way, you do die. There is a death to self, a beautiful death. We die with Christ and are also raised with him, Ephesians 2:6 tells us, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:1 tells us, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. But we also die more to the flesh in order to make room for the Holy Spirit to expand within us. We die more to the flesh so the Holy Spirit could expand within us. Real talk moment. In this place, God seems harsh, distant, and uncaring. Right? Suddenly and rather shockingly, he's not exactly who we thought he was. This is not as, awful or fatal as it sounds, but it is true. It's not fun when we're going through it. But if the Father is going to use us in a great way, we must go through his great breaking process. And through this necessary process, we come to know parts of him we never would otherwise. It can feel like a paradox. His kindness seems to take a back seat to the breaking that's underway. It seems severe, like he's tearing us apart. It also seems awesome because he's teaching us so much and revealing more of himself and his ways to us. We don't get that till later on down the road, do we? It's altogether wonderful and painstaking. The key is in realizing it won't last forever. However, we will be forever changed. When I've gone through my breaking processes, I've complained to God, said, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I said, well, how long is the tunnel? I don't see even a glimmer of the light. And I'm quite sure some of you feel the same way. God, where is the end of this tunnel? You know? So I said, you will be forever changed. You cannot go deep with him and not come out changed. Just as Jacob left limping after his encounter with God at Peniel, he also left with a new name. He found out who he really was called to be. He found out his true identity. I think God told one of you in here that when he's through with you, you'll really know who you really are. Amen. So, how many of you say, tell me right now, Father, let's just get this thing over. Tell me who I am. Genesis 32:27. What is your name? The man asked Jacob. What is your name? The man asked. Jacob was his reply. It isn't any more, the man told him. It is Israel. One who has power with God, because you have been strong with God, you should prevail with men. See this? It is Israel, one who has power with God, because you have been strong with God, you should prevail with men. So it is with us. We will all have our Peniel times with the Lord. And if we keep holding on to him, if we don't let go, we will emerge forever changed. What's God been telling us? I want to change you. Isn't that what he's been saying? We will be empowered by God because of the struggle. The question isn't, will we struggle? The question is, will we keep holding on to God despite the struggle? That's the question. You are going to struggle, but will you hold on to the end? The holy breaking process is ordained by God Himself and will leave us cut and empowered with His will and His purposes. And it will reveal our true identity in Christ. Just like Jacob's limp was a sign of his struggle to never let go of God, so is a proverbial cut. His cut on us is our mark from Him, so to speak. It says we've been in the deep places with Him. See, it's all up to you. Do you really want to go to the deep places with Him? Some of you in here tonight, God won't tell you what your title is. It's because you're still in the process. You're not ready for a title. He's still trying to change you and rearrange you and make you what He wants you to be. Think about that. So many believers are only concerned with how trustworthy God is. But that's a two-way street. He is also looking for those He can trust as well. Not everybody sitting in this room can God trust. Are you understanding this? So God's going to put you through the furnace of affliction to let you see who you are not. That's what it's all about. It's all about Him letting you see. He knows all about you. He's letting you see that you're not ready yet. Amen? How do you find out who you can trust? It's usually in the most painful of places this is revealed. You'll see who you can really depend on there. Not everybody will get in the dirt with you, or for you, for that matter. Not everybody will get in the dirt with you, or for you, for that matter. Not everyone can tolerate the deep places or the heat and pressure that comes with it. Are you just listening to this tonight? But those who can, those who will, are the ones you'll find you really can trust. And they'll trust you back. It's a place of revealing. So not only do we find Him out, He finds us out also. It's a unique place of exchange that transpires through much difficulty and controlled chaos. Let's read that again. It's a unique place of exchange that transpires through much difficulty and controlled chaos. So God's controlling the chaos. Like a birthing process, the pain produces something beautiful. I know that might not make much sense unless you've experienced it. If that's the case, then you know what I'm saying is true. And it is one of the most difficult truths to convey because it is such a deeper revealing of how He desires to lovingly work in our lives. That's just like how many of you had your first baby and thought you was going to die. You know? And then, you know, they'll say, oh, you'll forget all about this pain. No, I won't. No, I won't. And then here comes this beautiful baby and you forgot all about the pain it you had to go through to bring it forth, right? You'll forget all about this pain. That's why God keeps telling you, don't look back. You know, that part of your life is over with. Keep moving forward. In his book, The Root of the Righteous, A.W. Tozer pens his difficult truth so well. The flaming desire to be rid of every unholy thing and to put on the likeness of Christ at any cost is not often found among us. Let's read that again. The flaming desire to be rid of every unholy thing and to put on the likeness of Christ at any cost is not often found among us. Amen. Truth. We expect to enter the everlasting kingdom of our Father and to sit down around the table with sages, saints, and martyrs. But for the most of us, it could prove at first an embarrassing experience. Ours might be the silence of the untried soldier in the presence of the battle-hardened heroes who have fought the fight and won the victory and who have scars to prove that they were present when the battle was joined. In other words, he's saying you don't want to go through any fire, any furnace of affliction, and you just want to go to heaven and just sit down and be happy, but the ones that are up there are going to have battle scars. of what all they had to go through in order to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Some people want to sin and sin and sin and sin and die and go to heaven, and that isn't going to work. That's what he's saying. Thus, it is necessary for God to use suffering in his holy work of preparing his saints. He tells us in his word we're all going to suffer, right? Thus, it is necessary for God to use suffering in his holy work of preparing his saints. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Let's read that again. Thus, it is necessary for God to use suffering in his holy work of preparing his saints. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Some of us sitting in here tonight, we know exactly what God is saying when he says that. We've been there. We've done it. We've paid a terrible price to be where we're at in Christ Jesus. But we paid the price, and we're still paying the price, and we're going to continue to pay the price until Jesus Christ takes us on home to be with him. So if you're fussing about what you're going through now, well, go ahead and throw in the towel then and march on. Because the suffering isn't going to end. By the time you think everything is settled down, boom, here comes something else. I said, there's always something to smack you in the stomach and knock the wind out of you, isn't there? Always, always, always. But we don't give up God, do we? Two ways to look at this. We can ultimately look at this in one of two ways. We'll either see God as being a cruel and uncaring taskmaster, or we'll see the love and wisdom of our Heavenly Father at work, preparing us and purifying us for his greater purposes. Let's read that again. We'll see the love and wisdom of our Heavenly Father at work, preparing us and purifying us for his greater purposes. And greater, deeper intimacy is always a result. I've been crying out to God, God, why don't you send your glory? Why don't you send at least some healing power? You know, but he doesn't answer, and he isn't doing it. And I don't know what my process is. I don't know what he's trying to get me to do or what he's doing with me. But my cry constantly is, God, there's people coming in the house of God that need a miracle in their bodies. And it just really drives me to distraction to watch them walk out the same way they come in. You know, and I'm crying out to God and crying out to God, but he's not telling me anything. So I must be going through a process. Maybe it's trust. Trust him that he knows exactly when to do this, and he'll do it in his timing and not mine. Maybe he's trying to build up people's faith. I don't know what he's trying to do, but he's trying to do something. And it's up to us whether or not we yield to what he's trying to do. Right? I found, is that where I'm at? No, God does not. God does not entrust his power to just anybody, especially novices. That is why when you come in the house of God, into the Lighthouse Church, I immediately put you in a position that you fail in. Because you're a novice. But me and my enthusiasm, I listen to God. And I do that because he wants me to find out and you to find out that you're not ready yet to fulfill the position he wants you to fulfill. Very simple. When the light bulb's off my head, I can't believe this. Come on. That's why so many people fail in their missions that I ask them to do. Their assignment, I'll say assignments I ask them to do, is because they're novice. They're not ready to do it. They might say, oh, I can do anything. Yeah, well, you know, you find out you can't. I found out you can't do anything, everything. That's just your bragging, your ego, your pride. You know, come on. We're being honest, right? And God changes, right? We want to be everything that God wants us to be, right? Then we have to be taught. You know, God told me what to teach, and I said, God, all I'm doing is teaching, but I remembered something. He brought back some remembrance. A pastor that I know, he said to me, Pastor Barbara, God, won't you start teaching again? I thought, well, that's what I've always been doing, but I wasn't teaching. I'm just moving in the Spirit. Now God's teaching his people how to be all that he wants them to be. So we have to do what God's telling us to do. Amen. How many of you wish you were taught a lot of this stuff when you first got saved or born again? I was called born again. We'd have saved ourselves a whole lot of problems, wouldn't we? Father God, why did you wait so long to reveal all this stuff to us? Where am I? Am I still up there? He's looking for people who will follow, who will allow him to take them through his process. People who are truly led and walk by the Spirit. People who allow him to operate outside the box in their lives. Let's go back and read that again, Nancy. He's looking for people. He's looking for people who will allow him to take them through his process. Not your bragging. People who are truly led and walk by the Spirit. I've told one of you two, you just don't walk in the Spirit. That's your whole problem. You're doing everything through your flesh. Oh, is that right? Well, that's right. You know, if you want to know the truth, I'll give it to you. I mean, God will speak through me, give it to you. Because that pops out. Why did you say that, Lord? You know, but you say you want to know the truth. People who allow him to operate outside the box in their lives. See, we need to get outside the box, period. And just let God do the things he wants to do. This is why the breaking process is so costly. He is looking for those he can entrust his heart and his purposes to. And that is no small thing. I found the more he does this in my own life, the more of himself he pours into those broken, open places, and the more abiding friendship I have with him there, unlikely any other place. What I realize most is how very much I need it. It used to be when I first started for 30 years, you know, I would just go out and minister and didn't think a thing of it because I just knew that I knew that I knew that God was going to show up and God was going to do a great and mighty works. And now since I've been going through this, whatever this is I'm going through, I said, dear God, please show up. I'm praying, please show up. Please, God, use my vessel, but show up. And he does. He shows up in profound ways. But I'm constantly, constantly, constantly crying out for him to please show up. You know, these people come from so far. You know, when I'm going on evangelize, they come from so far. And they're coming here to see you. Please don't disappoint them. I'm not getting no glory, God. You're getting all the glory, but please show up. Amen. And I can pray in here, God, please show up. If I see somebody come in crippled or maimed, please show up tonight and please touch them. I know you'd like to tell me to shut up. But, you know, they come into the house of God because they believe God is there. And if God is there, then God should be doing all the miracles. That, you know, I said, God, you're giving me a black eye. Because I tell people how what a miracle working God you are, and I tell them all the miracles you used to do, and now you're not doing any of these, and it's making me look funny. During our whatever we had that one time, that week-long thing or whatever we had, the one person said, I had to come because you had guts enough to put on your flyer that there was going to be miracles. I didn't have guts to do nothing. God told me to say that. And see, the miracles were here. It was the miracles of deliverance. But people aren't looking for that. They're looking for different miracles. Anything God does is a miracle, by the way. I don't care if it fixed your toenail. It's a miracle. But when he said that to me, I stood there and looked. I said, really? I said to myself, really now? I don't have the guts to do anything, to tell you the truth. I just do what God tells me to do. And then he better show up. Amen. Because he said, whatever you put your hands to do, I'll be there to do it. Okay. Please don't mistake this for something it's not. Well, let's go back up to where I found, so it makes sense, Nancy. I found the more he does this in my own life, the more of himself he pours into those broken, open places. And the more abiding friendship I have with him there, unlike any other place. Because when God's breaking you, you're crying out to God. You really are. I guess you are. I do. I know that. What I realize most is how very much I need what he's doing to me. Please don't mistake this for something it's not. God isn't being mean or on some kind of a sadistic power trip. The breaking process is vital in a believer's life. Everybody needs that breaking process. He's the potter. We have to remember that. you're not, and you're the clay. He can smack you down and reshape you as many times as he feels fit. He can smack you down and reshape you and set you on a shelf as often, as long as he wants to. If you really believe that he's the potter and you're the clay, right? The breaking process is vital in a believer's life, and that process looks different for each of us. You, when you go through your breaking process, I say, I'm praying for you, and I really am. And I'm thinking, why are they acting like a fool? But then when I'm going through my breaking process, why doesn't everybody have compassion for me? Isn't that the way we do it? We look and say, what are they acting up for? It's because you're not in that breaking process. That's why they're acting up. Just wait till it hits you. You're going to act up. You really are. God, have you left me? God, have you lost your mind? God, you said this and you said that, and you know, and people are doing this and doing that, and I'm expecting this and expecting that, and you're doing nothing. He tells me, daughter, I'm working behind the scene, and I'm doing things that you can't see, so quit your complaining. So I'm no different, you're no different than me, so God is working behind the scenes in your life. And he's doing things you can't see to bring you to the place he wants you to be. Nevertheless, through it, we learn to surrender our will to his. That's when God said, you can go around the mountain as often as you want. When I surrender my will to him, then he'll be waiting. Are you listening? I'm not the only one that does this stuff. So don't act so pious. Nevertheless, through it, we learn to surrender our wills to God, so that we ultimately know how to walk in true obedience. Just as Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered in Hebrews 5, 7 through 8, so do we. Jesus suffered. Get that through your head. He suffered. It is for different reasons, but as we truly follow after Christ, as we take up our own crosses daily, we learn to walk in obedience as our Lord and Savior did. We take up our cross, not your husband's or your wife or your friends. You take up your own cross and you carry your own cross. And you allow God to do whatever he wants to you that day, whether you like it or not. You're his vessel. Not in an overbearing or legalistic kind of way, but in the way Jesus was yielded to the Father. As a result, we become more deeply rooted in him. We also take on more of his nature. It's really a transformative process. And while it is often painful, the outcome is truly beautiful and freeing. You can't see that when you're going through the ugliness of it. You really can't. Well, I couldn't. I couldn't see the beauty of it until I was all finished. But now I'm trying to remember there's beauty in those ashes. Amen. And I'm trying to remember that God has to burn that up in order for me to be able to fulfill all that he's called me forth to do. Are we listening here? The Lord doesn't just cut us open then and leave us exposed. Instead, he fills those places with himself and with his beauty. As a result, we come to know him better, and in turn, we're better able to reflect more of who he really is. He shines brighter through us. Are you listening? He shines brighter through us. And that's always a beautiful thing. I have to throw this in there. Why it just came to my mind. You know, when I was out the other day, I kept praying, God, show up. God, do your thing. These people need to be blessed. I guess God showed up pretty well because it gave me more of an offering than they usually do. Okay. So I said, well, they must have been pleased at what God did. That's a good indication, isn't it? They could not give me any offering. But it's always been the same offering, but they gave me more. So I said, thank you, God, for showing up. Thank you, God, that the people were satisfied and they were blessed. Amen. Brother Allen was there, and he about fell down with the people, and I about fell on top of the people, and they didn't have any throws. So we'd have been all exposed, right? But the anointing kept getting stronger and stronger, and I kept saying to myself, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Why do you ever go and do anything without asking God to go with you? I don't care if you're just going to town. You need God with you. God is saying to us tonight, Isaiah 54, 1 through 10. You know, God told me early on when I first started ministry, that Isaiah 54 was my chapter that I could lean on throughout my life. And then one day he said, I want you to read Isaiah 54. I said, I already know it. I've been going through a time. He said, read Isaiah 54, 1 through 10. So I went and read it. This is what it says. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. At that point, I said, I stretch everything out. I was in a bad way. I built a bigger tent. I was upset. All right. And then verse 3 says, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. That excited me. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. See, and all this was, you know, I was going through some things, and all of this talked to me because of what I was going through, all right? Verse 5, for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says our God. I said, absolutely. I agreed wholeheartedly with that scripture. And then verse 7, here comes in a little bit good part. For a mere moment I have forsaken you. Let's try a few years, okay? But with great mercies, I will gather you. With a little wrath, I hid my face from you. And I thought his whole kingdom was at me, all right? With a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. His timeline is really something, isn't it? But with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. I cried at that point. He was finally going to have mercy on me. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. I hold that scripture up to God all the time. You said, amen. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. So at one point when God was taking me through my process, well, I don't care what you call it, it was a process. He finally told me to read Isaiah 54, 1 through 10. And you know, really truly from that point on, he has not been angry with me, nor has he rebuked me. I thank my Father that he loves me that much, that he talks right into my heart, right into my life. And he exposes all the hidden things that are there so he can get rid of them, so I can become his child. Without spot, without wrinkle. A child, you know, that he can use to send wherever he wants to send and do whatever he wants to do. A child who will trust him no matter what's going on in your life. I do trust God, even though sometimes I don't understand him. I never understand, to tell you the truth. But there are some things he puts me through that I think, well, what are you doing? I just can't understand why I have to go through that. But God knows why I have to go through it. He knows what I'm going to encounter in life, and he knows where what areas of my life have to be strengthened. Are you listening? He knows the same thing about each one of you in here tonight. Why you make me go through this, Lord? Well, there's something inside of you that needs to be broken. There's something inside of you that God is trying to fix completely, totally, 100%, so that the enemy will never, ever, ever be able to come at you again to destroy you like he did before you went through the process. If you have pride and ego and all that junk, you really don't want to go with him there. Because I watch what he does to people and other things. God, I didn't have pride or ego. Because I don't want to go there. What I went through was bad enough. See, that's what I'm saying. Each one of our processes is different. And so it just depends what your problem is. How you go through it. Somebody wrote me an email the other day and they said, I just can't believe that God's having you take care of three young kids, but I know he strengthened you to do it, and I'm glad it's you and not me. See, she was glad it was my process and not her process. But people don't understand you. God never puts upon you any more than you can bear. And you know, he knows who you are. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. He knows what he can trust you with after you go through your process. There are some things that I didn't have any compassion for, and God had me go through a process so I'd have compassion for people. So what is it in your life? You have to stop thinking, what is it in your life that's a weak area and God needs to strengthen it so he can use you? You know, he doesn't ever put you through anything for nothing. And he doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. You know, we was watching a movie the other night, and it was about a little boy. That's why we watched it. It was about a boy who was abused very bad by his father as a boy. Maybe y'all watched it too. But and then as he grew up, he did the same thing. I mean, it really messed his mind up really bad. And he'd go off, and because he kept remembering what his dad did to him, he kept having flashbacks. And he was a grown man. And they kept saying, at the end, he got killed. And they kept saying, don't shoot him, don't shoot him. No, I got two stories mixed up. No. Well, anyhow, they said, whatever you, don't shoot him. So they didn't shoot him. And he said, it's finally over. And the one police officer said, no, it's just beginning for you. He thought, he killed his father. He shot him because he thought if he could kill him. See, his father was molesting boys, young boys, too. And it making him watch. And then he'd kill the boys, and then he'd make his son help bury the boys. Well, that messed that little boy's mind up really bad. And so it messed his whole life up. And so Gabriel was asking all kind of questions that was going on, which was a good thing for him. And then I said, honey, that's what's wrong with you. I said, this is what you've been going through, you know, as a young boy when you were taken out of the home and everything. And even before you left the home, some of the things that your parents did to you were made you the way you are. And he started crying. He said, you think God will set me free? I said, he sure will. So it was a very, very good movie. It was one of the police movies, but it was very good. And he understood. He watched it very, very intently. In fact, he said, Mom, you got to come out and watch this. I was in the computer doing stuff on my computer. So he said, sit down and watch this with me. And, you know, we never know what God's going to place in our life to use as a tool, you know, to minister to somebody. That ministered to him a whole lot. And he's waiting now for God to set him free. So what are you waiting on? Are you waiting for God to get down inside of you and put you through a process and set you free? You know? You know, God uses many mysterious ways to get us to where he wants us to be. And sometimes we're always blaming our problems on somebody else, and really, you know, it's us. We need to be broken. We need to be brought to a place of true humbleness so God can continue to use us in a mighty way. When God told me that I had to work on my love walk, I didn't know I had to work on my love walk, but then you know what? I started watching myself. And guess what? My love walk did need to be strengthened. It did need to be worked on. And then, lo and behold, then, I mean, I started going through everything that would cause me not to want to love. And I know that was a process God was putting me through to show me that I had to persevere, that the enemy was really strong, and he could come and he could steal anything from us anytime he wants to if we're not aware of what he's doing. Are you understanding that here? So don't be so quick to judge people. You don't know what kind of process they're going through. You don't know what's inside of them that God is trying to break and trying to restore wholeness to them. Why don't we just do what God wants us to do? And I read another article the other day where it said that God said the body of Christ still has not learned how to love properly. How long has he been trying to get us to learn how to love? Amen. I'll be the first one to say I'm struggling with that. You know, the enemy works hard with, and I used to love and love and love and then love some more. And right now, the enemy's really working hard on me in that area. But I'm not going to give in. I'm going to persevere. And I'm going to just keep moving on. And the people that are ugly are getting uglier. You know, the way they act are getting uglier. The kids are getting more rowdy, you know. There's a whole lot of things going on around me to make me want to not walk in love. So watch what's going on in your life. Whatever you're going through, there's something in that God is trying to get you processed through. He's trying to get you broken and out of that thing that you're in. All right. And, you know, I was reading where there's a lot of rage in Israel right now. And I'm thinking, how many of you have been getting really super angry lately? And I was wondering, because I didn't read the whole article because I was waiting to come to church. I'm just wondering, is that a spirit of rage that's in the atmosphere now? Yeah, very easily could be a spirit of rage because of what this article was saying about over in Israel. So, you know, I'm going to go and read the article in its entirety. But we maybe might be wanting to break down in the atmosphere, the rage that's in the atmosphere. And the anger and everything, and because of what they're doing over there is absolutely unreal. If we would just stop being worldly, if we just start putting our little pea brain up here in the heavenly realm and start walking in heavenly places, we would understand, hey, there's something not right here. It's not me. There's something in the atmosphere that I have got to go before the throne of grace, find out what it is, so I can pray and properly break it down. But we're always saying, well, that's so-and-so making me feel like that, or there's something in me that's not right. You know, it could be something in the atmosphere, something that is not you at all, but it's affecting you. And we have to know how to discern what is just in the atmosphere and what is us. And the only way we can do that is by walking totally and completely in the Spirit. And this is why God said years ago, 5 years ago or something, religion had no more place. It was Spirit called the Spirit. And we had to be walking totally and completely in the Spirit realm if we were going to be His. And this is why God is trying to break that religious spirit off of people, so that He can put His Spirit in them totally, completely, 100%, so they'll be walking in the Spirit constantly, and the enemy will have no place in them. Amen? You know, Brother Crecius laugh. I'd say to people, you're just too religious. You're not going to receive God. You're too religious. And I'd walk on you. Well, it was God telling him, you've got to get rid of that religious spirit. It wasn't me. I didn't know anything about people came in here. But they would get upset. Don't get upset with me. Get upset with your Father. Don't even get upset with Him. Just do what He's telling you to do. Get rid of that religious spirit. And walk in the Spirit. And then you'll be able to defeat the enemy. As long as you're walking that religious spirit, you're never going to defeat the enemy. Never. And if you see, you have to know when you call a prayer line, you have to watch the people. You can tell whether or not they're bound or whether they're walking in the Spirit. And, you know, don't stand there and labor for hours over somebody that's still bound and isn't wanting to be set free. Move on. Just move on, because there's many people waiting for the touch of God to be set free. And we linger too long in front of somebody. Somebody needs to hear this in here. We linger too long in front of somebody that really isn't going to receive. I have to say, move on. They're not going to receive. And it isn't that they really don't want to. There's religious spirits in them, and they're in bondage. But, you know, you could stand there till you're blue in the face or till the roof falls in, one or the other, you know, and never get them set free. They need to go through a deliverance. But then they have to be willing to believe that they have a problem. And we don't look for a devil around every corner. I really get tired of that. We don't. And we just need to go ahead. And if God wants that devil revealed, He'll reveal it. If He doesn't, you move on. If you see a person is bound up, then what you do is you go to them and say, you know, you really should sign up for deliverance. You know, because sometimes, you know, people come in here, they don't want to see demons manifesting all the time. They would just like to be quiet and just sit in the presence of the Father. Amen? Because we fight the devil all day long, right? Wherever you go, the devil's there, doing his thing, on the radio, wherever, on TV, everywhere. He's everywhere, isn't he? And sometimes you just like to be refreshed. Like to, you know, and get rid of all the other junk. So quit looking at people and trying to find a devil in them. You know, well, if that's the case, you shouldn't come to this church, because the pastors in this town think I am the devil. And they warned their people, don't go to that church because she's the devil and you'll get bound up. So, you know, I don't look for devils. They'll show up. They will show up if they're there. And if they don't, like I laid my hands on some young man's stomach the other last night. What is this, Wednesday, Sunday? And them old devils run all over the place trying to get away from my hand inside of him. He didn't go down. He didn't receive, because he was so full of spirits. but I didn't tell him that. I didn't say, come out of there in the name of Jesus. I just went on. It wasn't the time or place to do that. And it wasn't my job to tell him you got a devil at that time either. Right? We just trying to get God. We just wanted to give God his opportunity to move. And he does. So tonight, can we honestly say, I am broken, I am cut deeply to the core of my being, and God did it. And say it with a happy heart. Say it believing it. Have it come from your heart, not from your head or just from your lips. God is tired of lip service. He wants heart service. He wants your spirit man to be alive within you. He wants you to go through the breaking process with a smile on your face. Join your heart. When Brother Allen started through his, I said, what is going on with this man? He's crazy. And God said, this is God ordained. I said, you got to be kidding. I watched this poor man just about die. Well, God said he was. Not once, but three times all told. Just kept loving and praying, and he's finally coming out of it. But that's a lonely place to be, and especially when nobody understands you. This is why you need to be walking in the Spirit so God can tell you, what is wrong with that man? He's gone crazy. This is God ordained. Just pray for him. See? You know, that's all you have to do. Just hear God's voice. And then just do it. Don't run. Guess what God said about you? Don't do stuff like that. God said, pray. He didn't say run and run your mouth to let them see that how God-like you are and how you know everything. He said, pray. We sent emails. You can make it, right? I think that's what we did. I was talking to somebody today, and I got all excited about my conversation. And half hour later, that person said, well, you said. I said, did I really say that? He said, yes. I said, well, as long as you remember, that's fine. I'm so excited about what we're talking about, upset excited, that I forgot what I said. How many get like that? You know, so God's ready. Are you ready? He's ready to cut you open. He's ready to do that surgery that you need to make you the vessel of honor that he can work through. You know, there's much we can glean from God if we'll just allow him to do the surgery on us. And let's just quit making ourselves believe. God said people walk in self-deception. Quit making yourself believe you're all that and then some. All right, so you've had a few deliverance and you can prophesy big whoop. That does not give you a ticket to heaven. It doesn't. I'm sorry. I've got Reverend in front of my name. I do too, but that doesn't give me a ticket to heaven. That's just a word. Just a, you know, come on. Let's just make sure, you know, if you just make sure that you're clean inside out. If you just give God the permission, God, just get in here and use your scalpel. Just cut me every which way but loose. Cut all that junk out of me. Get all that trash out of me. Make me just like Jesus. Make me a vessel of honor just like your son was. I say, God, I would like to be like Paul. To be able to suffer and never complain. I still complain. You know, so I'm trying to get over the complain thing. Amen? Why are you doing this, Lord? Haven't I been through enough? Where are you taking me to now that you're making me go through this? Will you just show me something, Father? What do I get? Total silence. He didn't even say, be still no more. He just doesn't say anything. Am I still your daughter? Yes, you are. I don't want to hear that question again. He does say that. Other than that, he doesn't say a word. So we just wait. How many years have been waiting? Has he been waiting on you? Now all of a sudden you want him to just snap your finger and him jump to the hoop. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't. See, don't worry about who your friends are or anything else. Tonight he's working on you. Don't worry about anybody in the room. He's working on you. He's telling you there's things inside of you that I want so I can throw them in the trash pile. They're not doing you a lick of good and they're sure not going to help me out any. Are you listening? Are you ready to give him all the junk that's in your life? Are you ready to just forget about the residue that other people have spoken over you and in you and around you? I use that word you use. How about that? See, he spoke that word residue and God used it. It was in there. Come on. I am broken. I am cut deeply to the core of my being, and God did it. I would like for you to come to the altar tonight. Allow God to do that to you. It's going to be a process you might have wished you hadn't asked for. But I can assure you from my experiences with God that it's well worth it. How many of you looked at yourself like you said, I don't like myself. I'm ugly. You know, I don't mean appearance, but, you know, just I'm just ugly. I don't like myself anymore, Father. Just make me more like Jesus. I don't like what the world has done to me, Father. I don't like the fact that I didn't go through my testings, my trials with a smile on my lip and therefore then on my face, and therefore the enemy is able to come in here and do some things I didn't like. How many of you can say that tonight? And with all honesty, really want God to use his scalpel on you and cut you open wide and deep so that there's nothing left inside.